Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5. We've been going through the Psalms, and this was something I didn't get into on Sunday that I wanted to get into, but it was going to be a rabbit trail, and I wrestled with this. And so what we're going to be talking about tonight is actually verse number 6. We're going to be centering on verse number 6, but in order to get some context, we're going to go ahead and read through the first 5 verses again. And I'm going to say that what I'm going to present to you tonight is fully and completely theological. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times we're reading from the Bible and it's just, okay, this is how you live. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. This is, you know, how you need to feel. How you need to not feel, you know, kind of a guide. And that's good. But sometimes we need to just read the Bible just to learn, just to know. And there's a preacher that I like to listen to sometimes, James Bonnie Bauckham, and he said this. He said, many, many Christians are in love with a Jesus that they don't know very much about. In other words, they love God, and they have a strong feeling in their heart for God. But as far as having knowledge and understanding, again, they're in love with the Jesus that they don't know very much about. And it's my belief that God has chosen the medium of the Bible, the Scripture, to reveal himself to mankind. So if we can get into the Scripture and study, we're going to learn more about him. And I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to love a Jesus that I don't know very much. And so even though we're going to be on verse 6, let's start with verse 1. And you'll remember this from last Sunday. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, look and take note. Search her squares and see if you can find a man. If you remember, the streets were the narrow places, the squares were the wide places. The one who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her. And if you remember, he was just seeking for one man, and there was this comparison to Sodom and Gomorrah. We talked about that. And then it's obvious that that's what he's making an allusion to. And it says, though they say, as the Lord lives, yet they swear falsely. Verse 3, O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth. You have struck them down, but they felt no anguish. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. And it just shows how stubborn they are. Verse 4, then I said, these are only the poor. They have no sense. In other words, they have no education. They have no learning. For they do not know the way of the Lord, justice of their God. I will go to the great. In other words, I'm going to go to the more affluent. I'm going to go to the great men, the leaders, and will speak to them, for they know the way of the Lord and the justice of their God. But they, all alike, in other words, the great people in the society, were just as ungodly and just as wicked as the poor people. And so, in other words, the society there in Jerusalem, from top to bottom, from rich to poor, the middle class, the whole society had broken down spiritually. And it said that they had all alike had broken the yoke and they had burst the bonds. And then verse 6, which is what we're going to focus on tonight, is therefore a lion from the forest shall strike them down. A wolf from the desert shall devastate. A leopard is watching their cities. Everyone who goes out of them shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, their apostasies great. So let's pray one more time. God, this is your word. We do not enter into your word lightly, but we take your word very seriously. And with reverence and godly fear, we come before your word tonight, Lord, and open our minds, open our hearts, let us understand Jesus' name. Okay, I'm going to jump into this. And I don't think anybody here, except maybe the exception of Brother Carl, knows which direction I'm going to go on this. But I'm going to arrive at a verse that virtually everyone here, under the sound of my voice, knows. I'm going to end up on a verse that all of you guys know. All of you guys have read. All of you guys have heard. It's going to be a very familiar verse that I'm going to end up on here. But if you will notice in verse number 6, there's three animals that are mentioned here. It says there is a lion, there is a wolf, and there is a leopard. If we were gathered together, all together in one place tonight, I would say, repeat after me, lion, wolf, leopard. And then I would ask you, so what three animals are in this verse? And you would respond, lion, wolf, and leopard. And when he says that a lion's going to come from the forest, and a wolf from the desert, and then a leopard is watching their cities, he was not talking about a literal lion or a literal wolf or a literal leopard. He was talking about Israel's enemies. He was telling Israel, I'm going to turn you over into the hands of your enemies. The lion, I'm going to easily show you, was referring to King Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian kingdom. In fact, if you'll go to Jeremiah chapter 4, just the chapter before, we read out of Jeremiah 5, this is Jeremiah 4. He says, I will bring disaster from the north. I'm kind of starting at the middle of verse 6. I bring disaster from the north and great destruction. A lion has gone up from his thicket. This was describing the armies of Babylon coming down. And King Nebuchadnezzar, like a lion. Okay? So in verse 6 there, when we talk about a lion, a wolf, and a leopard, he's talking about their enemies. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. You'll remember God gave Daniel a vision, and at first Daniel did not understand it. He said that there were four great beasts that came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a what? Lion. And then you look at the second one, and it's in verse 5, it was a bear, not a wolf, but a bear. And then you look at the third beast, and the third beast was a leopard. So when we read in Jeremiah 5 and 6, a lion, a wolf, and a leopard, here you've got a lion, a bear, a leopard. And so you notice lion and leopard are there. Lion was the first kingdom, which was the Babylonian kingdom, and the bear was the second kingdom, which was going to be the Persian kingdom, and then the leopard was Alexander the Great. And so you can see how Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 6 is talking about not a literal lion, not a literal wolf, and not a literal bear, but these were metaphors for nations that were going to act like predators on the nation of Israel because of their disobedience. So are you following me so far? I hope you are. Now, what I'm going to say, and this is going to be fairly short tonight because I didn't know how much voice I was going to have because I've lost my voice so bad that I purposely am trimming this down. But in Daniel chapter 7, verse 17, when it came to these beasts that Daniel saw, you know, he saw this lion, saw this bear, saw this leopard, and then he saw another beast that was even more horrible than all the three, which was the Roman Empire. In verse 17, it's explained these four great beasts are four kings or four kingdoms who shall arise out of the earth. So again, showing us that these were not four literal animals, but they were just metaphors of kingdoms. So get this in your head, please. Get this in your head that the lion, and if you can go back to Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 6, Brother Carl, the lion from the forest was not a literal lion. It was the nation of Babylon. The wolf was not a literal wolf. And the leopard was not a literal leopard. It was the kingdom of the Greek kingdom of Alexander the Great. And now, Carl, if you can take, and well, before Carl goes there, I think that you've all been taught, and we've all been taught, that there's going to be, and I don't want to shake your world up, and I just want, all I want to do is arouse your curiosity. And I'm not asking you to accept this. I'm just asking you to consider it. You will, most of you, or all of you will have been taught that as far as dispensationalism, that there's going to be this rapture. And then after the rapture, there will be a 7-year tribulation period. And then after that, Jesus comes back and sets up the kingdom down here on earth. And then that there is 1,000-year millennium. Okay, I think that if we were all in church together, I think you'd be shaking your heads and saying, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been taught. That's all I've been taught. And during this millennium, things are going to happen. It's going to, if you go to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 7, and yeah, leave both of those on there, perfect, just like that. If you'll notice, it says in Isaiah 6 and 7, and this is what you will have, what we have been taught all of our lives is that this is the millennium here. This is this 1,000-year millennium. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat and the calf, and the lion and the fatted calf together. And so, and then down there in verse 7, you have that bear, the cow and the bear. So you have the bear. And we have, you know, I know always growing up as a kid, this is what I was taught, is that, you know, you have this millennium and that it's going to be really cool. You're going to walk around and you're going to be able to pet, you're going to be able to pet a lion. You're going to be able to, you know, hang out with wolves that, you know, it's not going to be, you know, there'll be perfect peace on earth and there will not be any, you know, animals aren't going to be predatory. But to me, now, Carl, I don't know if you got my text, seeing if you could combine these scriptures all on one screen. Is that possible? Therefore, okay, if you will look now, and this is going to look a little crowded and jumbled on this screen, the first verse is the verse that we read out of Jeremiah tonight, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 6. What are the three animals in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 6? A lion, a wolf, and a leopard. Now look at Isaiah chapter 6 and what three animals are in Isaiah 11 and 6. A wolf, a leopard, and a lion. When I say what three animals, I mean what three predatory animals, what three predators? A wolf, a leopard, and a lion. Folks, I'm sorry, but I don't think that that is a coincidence. I don't think that it's just coincidentally that Jeremiah was talking not about literal animals, folks, that Jeremiah was talking about predatory nations that were attacking God's people. And he says it's going to be like a lion, like a wolf, and like a leopard. These were nations that would come to war against the nation of Israel. And in verse 6, he was talking about a day in which, and he uses those same three animals and says, a wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the lion, the fatted calf. So I would at least ask you folks to consider the fact or the possibility that Isaiah is not talking about a literal wolf, a literal leopard, and a literal lion any more than Jeremiah was. And when we spent about a month or more on Wednesday nights a few years back going over what we talked about, we called hermeneutics. One of the hermeneutics that we covered and I showed you how to use was If you'll remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. If you want to know what a Scripture means, let Scripture interpret Scripture. So if you read in Isaiah 11 and 6 about a wolf, a leopard, and a lion, try going and searching the Bible and seeing if you can find another verse that has those three exact animals in it. Because it won't be a coincidence. And you let Scripture interpret Scripture. And so therefore, I'm going to ask you to consider the possibility that since Jeremiah was not talking about a literal lion, a literal wolf, or a literal leopard, that when Isaiah used those same three animals, that he was talking about that there would come a time that nations would not be predatory, or talking about a better day here on this earth. And again, I would, if we were on a Wednesday night, I would just stop right here and just say, does anybody have any questions or comments? But I know this is probably very, very different than what you've been taught. And I'm not wanting to unearth your theology. But at the same time, as we were going through Jeremiah chapter 5, I skipped over it on Sunday. And I even talked to Sister Wiggins about it. And Sister Wiggins says, brother, told me, she says, you know what? She said, if you're not careful, your people are going to be confused. And so I purposely did not touch on this on Sunday. I just stayed with some other stuff. But I don't want to just, you know, Paul said that he goes, I have not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. And I don't want to jump over something in Jeremiah. And Sister Wiggins was my careful advisor. She goes, why don't you take a Wednesday night and just talk about it? And in that way, and I took Sister Wiggins' advice, and that's what I'm doing here. Now, if I can make some other points here real quick that I think is important to know, is you might ask the question, why the animal imagery here? Why using a wolf? Why use a lion? Why use a leopard? Why use a bear? Why use all of these predatory animals as though these are animals that are preying on the nation of Israel? Why? What's the purpose of that? What's the reason? What's the message? That's where it can kind of teach us a little bit of a lesson. Because, Carl, if you will go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, and I pray that I'm not confusing you here, but if you'll go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, very familiar verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and look at this, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So in the beginning on the earth, with regard to lions and in regard to wolves and leopards, they were all under the authority or the dominion of man, the man Adam. In fact, if you will go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, it says, so out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man. He brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever the man or whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. You see how God was giving Adam dominion over all of the animals of the earth. It says in verse 20, the man gave names to all livestock. It was called a cow because Adam said it was going to be called. It was called a giraffe because Adam said so. It's called an elephant because Adam declared it so. Now, Brother Carl, when you guys had Noah, I didn't tell you what to name him. And Brother Brian Johnson, who I believe just joined us a few moments ago, welcome aboard, Brian. Glad you're here. Brother Brian didn't tell you what to name your son. And Sister Carmen might make a suggestion what to name, but Brother Carl, whose decision was it what that baby's name was going to be? It was going to be yours and Joyce and Josie's decision. You guys, that was your child, and it was your choice, your decision, your, if you'll pardon this word, dominion. And you notice how God is bringing all of the animals and letting Adam have dominion, and even letting Adam name what the animals are going to be called. So, if you can go back to Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 6, Carl, thinking biblically, in other words, I call it this, this is what I call it. I call it reading the Bible again for the first time. Okay, reading the Bible again for the first time. Looking at the backdrop of Genesis, where Adam had dominion over all of the animal kingdom, and then now these animals, the lion, the wolf, and the leopard, are being used as figurative enemies that are going to prey on the nation of Israel. What is the message that God was trying to send the nation of Israel? I'll tell you what he's saying. You guys have lost your dominion. You guys have lost your dominion. Whereas in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, man had dominion over the animals. Now, here in Jeremiah chapter 5, God is saying, man, you've lost your dominion. You've lost your dominion. You need to repent and turn away from your sins, because look at what has happened to you. Instead of you ruling and reigning like Adam was ruling and reigning over the animal kingdom, now that animal kingdom is preying on you. You lost your dominion. And again, we know these animals were metaphors of nations, but I think you can see the imagery here. And I guess the last thing I would want to say tonight is, you say, well, man, Brother Wiggins, that's depressing. How do we get the dominion back? How do you get the dominion back? And that's the beautiful thing, where for our last verses tonight, we just got three more quick verses. Brother Carl, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. You notice how Jesus Christ is likened unto who? Adam. In fact, in that same chapter, just a few verses further down, Brother Carl, go to verse 45. It says, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. See how Paul quoted Genesis chapter 1 there, quoted Genesis. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. So, the first man, Adam, there's the first man, Adam, which was Adam, and then there is the second man, Adam, or the last man, Adam, which was Jesus Christ. One more verse, just two verses down, verse 47 says it this way. The first man, Adam, was from the earth, earthy, or as the King James says, a man of dust. The King James says the first man, Adam, was of the earth, earthy. This translation says the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, who would be the Lord Jesus Christ, is from heaven, or as the King James says, was the Lord from heaven. Jesus Christ came back, or when I say came back, I don't mean to say came back. Jesus Christ came and reclaimed the dominion that Adam lost in the fall. Whereas Adam failed, and Adam he fell. He was just a type. He was a type of the greater Adam that was to come, that wasn't going to fail. And so, in the Messiah's kingdom, and if you, Brother Carl, if you can go back, and this will be the last verse we probably put on the screen. It says, go to Isaiah 65. Well, first of all, go to Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 7. And we already read this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. The cow and the bear shall graze. If you will look at the context, and I challenge you to tonight or tomorrow, look at the context. Read, you know, start at verse 1 of chapter 11. It's talking about Messiah. It's talking about the reign of Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that these are the things that would happen. And go to Isaiah 65 and verse 24 and verse 25. It says, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. This is God talking about how attentive he is going to be with his people. And he says, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall be strong like an ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food, meaning serpent being a symbol of Satan, of the devil, that he, in other words, would be defeated. And he was defeated by the ultimate victory that Jesus Christ achieved on the cross of Calvary and by walking out of that tomb on the third day. And so that's kind of all that I had today, tonight for you. I just kind of wanted to go back to Jeremiah chapter 5 and cover something that I purposely skipped over on Sunday. And I wanted to show you that those three animals are the exact same three animals that was named in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 7. And I wanted to show you that we need to think biblically. And let Scripture interpret Scripture. And if you do, I think you see something very beautiful about the reign of Messiah, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's all I have for tonight. Does anybody have any questions or comments? I know this might be very different than what some of you have been taught previously. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I appreciate your different perspectives on some of these verses. Like you said, these particular verses, we've been taught for many, many years. Oh, it's like in the millennial time, and just to kind of have a different perspective of it is always nice, because I think there's a lot of different interpretations in the Bible, you know, that things can have more than one meaning or more than one interpretation, you know, like a present, past, and future kind of understanding. So I just appreciate the different points of view.
Very good. Very good. Very, very good. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Yeah, what I'm saying that means is that what Isaiah was trying to say is that this predator would no longer be predatory. Okay, so this animal, this predator animal that represented a nation that was predatory over Israel would no longer, that these nations that preyed on Israel would no longer be predatory on the people of God. What it's saying, he's going to eat straw like an ox. It doesn't necessarily, I think we try to look at that so literally. What he's just saying is the lion is no longer going to be. And the lion represented a nation. Yeah. Very good question. Very, very good question. But this is stuff you can just think about. We're going to, We won't be there this Sunday, but we will be there the following Sunday. And if anybody has any thoughts, and we will be back online here again next Wednesday night. And if anybody has any questions or thoughts next Wednesday night, they can certainly. I've tried to give you some verses to kind of, if you can pardon the term, chew on a little bit here, and just think about, and then you can feel free to come back and ask some questions about them. But that's all I've got tonight. Unless anybody's got anything else, that's all I have for tonight.